720 WGN, Mike Stephen in for Bob Surratt this morning with us to give us some entertainment news. Josh Hill, the editorial director of Fansided. Josh, Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Is it too early to say Happy New Year? I mean, here we are December 27th. I feel like it's the holiday season, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying Happy New Year January, 30th, February 28th. So it's a year-round thing. Every day is a new year, right?
It certainly feels like it. And I'll tell you what, if you go out, you're in your, CVS or Target or whatever. I mean, it is the Christmas season in September. You know, they got the end caps out there. They got the garland. They got the red and white and the green. Seriously, like at the end of September, early October, it's Christmas time.
It is. I mean, and there's always Halloween season, too. And we're always looking forward to Thanksgiving. It's always the holidays. We can always just be happy, especially these days. Let's use the holidays to be happy year-round. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, look, again, any positivity, any optimism, I'm going to take it. I'm going to get onto it and just ride it on a rainbow into the sunset or something like that. So, all right, Josh, let's talk about some entertainment news. So, first of all, let's talk about some box office numbers. I mean, Marvel is just crushing it. Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man No Way Home, is going bananas, isn't it?
It is, and it's kind of to be expected. You've got Marvel has been this juggernaut for the past 10 years. I mean, look at Endgame. Endgame is one of the biggest movies ever, and it seems like we say that phrase every single time a movie comes out from Marvel. But you got to think about Spider-Man. We were just talking about, positivity in these unfamiliar times. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, cinema always represents the era in which it's being created. And right now we are in perhaps the most unfamiliar times we've ever been in. And so what do people want to go see? Something familiar, something like Spider-Man, something comfortable like Marvel. And over the past decade, Marvel has really become that comfort blanket for everybody. It's easy. You don't have to think too hard when you go see a Spider-Man movie or an Iron Man movie. You know exactly what you're going to see. It's popcorn cinema on steroids. And I think that that's why this movie has done so well, because you're also factoring in, okay, I have to go out and I have to risk the pandemic to see this movie, because Spider-Man's not streaming on Disney Plus like a lot of these other releases that have come out.
Yeah.
And nobody's risking their life to go see The English Patient. No offense to anybody who likes The English Patient, but you're going to risk your life basically to see Spider-Man. And the box office is a reflection of a lot of people are willing to find something familiar like Spider-Man to feel a little bit of that positivity that we were just talking about.
Man, when you put it like that, risking your life to go see Spider-Man, I mean, all right, I guess I'm on board there, but a lot of people are, because it's the first pandemic-era movie to cross $1 billion at the global box office, is the third fastest film to reach the billion-dollar benchmark. So Spider-Man's crushing it. What else is up there? I mean, it's not just Spider-Man, although that's dominant, but what else are we seeing, like, top three-wise?
Well, that's the thing. It's really Spider-Man's world that everybody else is playing in it. Sing 2 is kind of that same formula. It's a sequel to the first Sing movie. If you've ever seen that trailer or the movie about the animals that sing, basically in a giant television singing contest, not unlike The Voice. It's the sequel to that movie, so it's a kids movie. So we basically have, two kids movies running away with the box office, but there's a significant gap between the two. And then The Matrix, the fourth Matrix movie, also up there in the top five for box office, which, again, familiar IP. That's something that people know. People know The Matrix. They want to go and see something where they don't have to necessarily think too hard. Although, I will say, Lana Wachowski, she made a pretty incredible movie with The Matrix that does indeed make you think pretty hard about the first three movies. And it also kind of makes you... It almost gives a middle finger to people who like these types of comfortable things, which is a pretty funny juxtaposition against something like Spider-Man being number one, and The Matrix basically making fun of people for going to see another Matrix movie that doesn't necessarily need to exist.
So should I go see that Matrix movie? I liked the first one, obviously, way back in 1999. The sequels were flashy, but they were, I guess, okay. But this one is getting like moderate reviews, but should we go see it?
If you liked the first one, you should go see it. And if you like the concept of these Lego sequels. So, like, we really started seeing this with The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Where it's basically a carbon copy of the movie you already like. Because The Force Awakens is basically just A New Hope remixed for millennials and Gen Z. The Matrix Resurrections takes that concept and kind of breaks down how stupid it is. And it almost, it's very meta. It doesn't spoil anything, but the entire concept of Thomas Anderson being placed back into the Matrix is he's a gaming executive who has created games called The Matrix, which within this new Matrix is the first three movies. So the first three Matrix movies exist within the fourth Matrix. And from there, we kind of had a meta commentary on what these IP mean when you're breaking it down from a fandom perspective. So it's actually a very, very smart film. Not unlike the first Matrix, where you go in and it's kind of a mind trip, and you really have to think a little bit. So it makes you a little bit more uncomfortable than if you were to go see Spider-Man. But the benefit here is you don't have to go out and see it. You can just watch it on HBO Max.
That's right. And hearing you explain it makes a whole lot of sense. I read that explanation somewhere and I'm like, wait, what are we doing here? What are we talking about? So, Josh, I appreciate you explaining that. Josh Hill, the editorial director of Fansided, talking about some entertainment news. And we were talking about the box office, Josh, but let's talk about TV shows. Here we are winding up 2021. In terms of TV shows that we need to check out right now, what do you think? What's hot? What should we be watching?
Well, I mean, the end of the year is the perfect time to go back and kind of either digest or re-digest some of the best television of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think there's really two shows that dominated the zeitgeist this year in the conversation, and that's Succession and that's Squid Game. And Squid Game really kind of came out of nowhere. That was this year's sort of Netflix success story. Every year it seems Netflix, who puts out just a billion things every single year, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. There's always one thing that seems to rise to the top. You know, a year ago, when the pandemic was starting, remember everybody got super obsessed with Tiger King. Right. Squid Game was the one that everybody got obsessed with this time around. And it's a little bit higher quality than Tiger King. No offense to Tiger King. But, I mean, we saw that reflected in, you know, Emmy nominations. I mean, this is going to be this is a critically acclaimed television show. And it's really, really, really a reflection of the Korean pop influence on American pop culture. You know, you see that with BTS in pop music has really crossed over the way that, you know, the Beatles did back in the 60s from Britain to America. BTS has kind of crossed over in that way. And they brought with them a lot of Korean arts. And I believe, you know, Squid Game is a reflection of that. And also Succession is a reflection of the American times in which we live in right now. It's a comedy that deals with very dark characters and very dark subject matter.
Yeah.
But it feels like Breaking Bad, where the first couple seasons of Breaking Bad, people kind of watched it. You're like, oh, yeah, the dad from Malcolm in the Middle cooks meth. I get the concept.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
It picks up in that third season, and then the fourth season, it just goes to another stratosphere. And I think Succession is kind of having that rise. For the first couple seasons, you're like, oh, I've seen that show. I've heard about that show. Maybe I'll check it out. And then you check it out. Everybody kind of got caught up for this third season. And I think the fourth season, and maybe there's going to be a fifth season. They're not going to do too many more seasons of the show. That's when everybody's going to latch on and it's truly going to hit its apex. And I was wondering whether we were going to have another sort of Breaking Bad rise like that. Everybody's always looking for the new Game of Thrones, which is going to be incredibly hard to do. But that sort of Breaking Bad rise of this is a very intricate television show that's very well written. It's incredibly well acted.
Yeah.
And it's well put together, and people are getting on board with it at the right time. I think right now, at the end of the year, Squid Game is the popular one that you want to get on board with. Succession is the one where you really want to go back and be a part of things when season four kicks off next year, because I think it's going to be a massive, massive talking point show.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, just watching Succession, we haven't started the third season yet. We are, right, this is season three. We're currently in season three. That's right?
Yeah, that just wrapped up.
Okay, so, yeah, my wife and I are going to watch season three. But, you know, we're watching this, and it's like every character in that show is screwed up, and I love it. I love it. I don't know what that says about me, but everyone is just so crazy, you know, just they've got their own issues. But I think to your point that this is a reflection of the time that we're living in, and a lot of us can maybe relate to what's going on in Succession, even though most of us aren't like, you know, bazillionaires. But still, the character flaws are so deep and the characters are so complicated. It is just, it's a fascinating, just incredible experience to watch.
It is, and it's been such an incredible rise for these actors, too. Like you're saying, they play these incredibly unlikable characters. There's not a whole lot of redeeming qualities, especially when you go back and rewatch the first two seasons, having watched the third season, or even just watching through the third season. There's not a whole lot of redeeming qualities within these characters. But you look at, you know, someone like Kieran Culkin,
yeah,
who has broken the Culkin brother curse of, you know, it's only going to be Macaulay Culkin. Now we have Kieran Culkin, who's, you know, an Emmy award-winning actor. He's hosting SNL. And that kind of goes to Jeremy Strong's the same way. You know, everybody talked about the New Yorker profile of Jeremy Strong. But here's a guy who very much could emerge as one of the top-tier actors of this generation. Everybody's talking about how deep into character he gets, like Daniel Day-Lewis does. You know, Jeremy Strong is really only getting started with his career, and he's on this massive, massive show. But you look at the way that they play these unlikable characters, like you're saying, there's something about it where you find yourself rooting for these despicable people, and you're on their side, and it's very strange
yeah.
to see that. But I think that goes into how well written the show is and how well acted it is.
I totally agree. Area code 630 here texted in 312-981-7200. Any scoop on the second half of the final season of The Walking Dead coming up? And will longtime fans be happy with the ending? Walking Dead, by the way, I used to watch that show religiously. Then I just feel like, okay, zombies, I get it. End of the world, I get it. I'm over it. I'm going to move on. So I haven't watched it in some time, but apparently the second half of the final season is coming up.
Yep, we're reaching the end. The end is finally near,
man,
with The Walking Dead. But it's true, like you're saying, you know, we were just talking about how Breaking Bad had very much an end point. And that made it, you know, the ticking clock of Walt getting figured out made the show dramatic. The Walking Dead suffers because, you know, like you're saying, everybody that has watched The Walking Dead, it feels like everybody has.
Yeah.
They've gone in and out because the show has been on for over 10 years at this point now. I mean, an early 2010s, you know, early aughts show or late aughts show that's been on forever. And the problem with it is every single season's the same. You wander to a new location,
right.
Your favorite characters die in brutal ways, you're upset about it, and then you come back and do it again. So what The Walking Dead is going to do with this, you know, the second half of this final season is really sort of reward fans for going on this journey with them for so long. And there's probably going to be, you know, Walking Dead movies that come out. You know, Andrew Lincoln said that he was going to come back and do some, you know, Walking Dead movies. There's going to be that. I don't know if AMC Plus is going to get in on that, but you take a look at, you know, what we talked about at the start of this conversation, show or movies like Spider-Man and The Matrix. One thing that they do really well and why they're so popular is it has an element of fan service to it, specifically Spider-Man. It is a fan service show or a movie. They made that for the fans. The Walking Dead needs to lean back into that because really the only people that are still on board with The Walking Dead are the diehards. And those are the people you really want to pay off. People have been there from the start through the ups and the downs, through the low points, through the high points, and now it's all culminating in really the end of an era. I mean, you know, The Walking Dead was your child. They're, you know, getting close to middle school age at this point. You've been with this show for a very long time. So you have to make this journey pay off, and I think that that's exactly what The Walking Dead's going to try to do with this second half of this season. Hopefully it's more good fan service, good series finale, and not on the Game of Thrones end of the spectrum, but we'll have to see.
We will see what happens, but Josh Hill has his pulse just on what's going on with the entertainment industry. Again, Josh Hill is the editorial director for Fansided. Josh, thank you so much for talking to us today, and happy holidays.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.